culture, discipline, accountability.
Mistreatment, misrepresentation.
Knowledge is power, y'all.
There has to be accountability.
This pandemic of toxic work culture and mistreatment has got to stop.
The podcast for federal employees by federal employees.
What's up? What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Fed Up. I'm your host, Ron Speakman, and today we'll be picking back up where we left off from last week with Kenny Hodge, who has 38 years in as a retired federal employee. As a quick recap, we left off talking about Kenny's campaign for state president of Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky, which was sabotaged by his opposition still, nonetheless, despite all of that. And we hear Kenny talk about this in great detail. Mr. Hodge kept it moving forward. And even though that door was shut in a corrupt kind of way, mind you, that whole situation opened up many other doors of opportunity for him. So without haste, let's keep this conversation moving forward. Now, Kenny, welcome back to the show. First off, brother, appreciate you.
Hey, glad to be back, bro.
Yes, sir. Now, Kenny, it seems that the whole election business was a blessing in disguise, despite everything that transpired, as I think you are better off serving the people just like I do and a few others I know, and that is through our knowledge and our voices, both of which we share on our platforms. And speaking of platforms, I want to talk about yours, the Kenny Hodge Podcast, which, by the way, has evolved into something big. Congrats on that, man. I've watched you grow and do your thing, but talk to me about that. Tell the listeners what this podcast is about, what you talk about and such, and where they can find it at.
Well, the Kenny Hodge Podcast kind of evolved from the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast, where I would only talk about postal issues.
Right.
After the little bitter taste I got in my mouth from the way the election was handled and mail-in election for Indiana, Ohio, and Kentucky, okay, I had a sad day or two, and then we move on. Since I wasn't elected, I retired, not since, but then I retired in April. So now that I'm retired, I opened the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast up to a eclectic podcast where every week we might have a different topic. And again, it's just one of those general type subjects, but I don't let not too many weeks go by where I don't come back to the base and do a postal podcast.
Got you.
So, you know, postal is my base, and two things in life I kind of stand on any mountain and scream I know, and that's post office and the Army. I mean, when you've been doing something for over 30 years, by osmosis, you get to learn it. But I dove into it to make sure I got a good understanding. So postal and the Army, those are the two solid platforms that I can always come back to. So, you know, now I just do the Kenny Hodge Podcast. I keep postal employees informed, and I talk about other life issues.
All right. I appreciate the information, man. Definitely. And you're right. It has evolved from one entity into the other. And I appreciate, I'm sure everybody else appreciates you coming back to the postal shit every now and then and keeping it thorough with everybody else who's still working and doesn't have that glass of Alizé in their hands while they retire. But, but yeah, thank you for that. Yo, and to the listeners out there.
It's 9 o'clock in the morning and we have a drink, man. See me.
Hey, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, brother.
Yeah, 5 o'clock somewhere, man.
Oh, man. Rest in peace, you know, to my main man out there, Buffett out there, right? Jimmy,
yeah. I don't know. And you know, in addition to what I do, me and the wife have a podcast also. It's called Gray. You know, again, branching out from just postal issues. I'm in an interracial marriage. I'm white. My wife is black. See, I was just checking to see if you were listening, Rob. A black man and my wife is white. And we take and put humor to some of the differences in the two cultures, man. Now, don't get me wrong. You hear us on the podcast laughing and joking, but make no mistake about this. I have a very, very strong black voice, but I love my wife unconditionally. So a lot of people get confused when they hear some of my black podcasts and then they see us out. My voice don't make me who I am.
Correct.
You know, because I see an issue and address the issue. It's funny, man, that a lot of people have a hard time digesting it. Like, I seen him on here with his Black Power self yesterday, but now I look on his Facebook page, and there's about 40 white people on there that are now my new family. And trust me, I love them just like I've, you know, known them all my life. So one of the things that the Gray podcast brings is gives a comparison between black and white, and then also an understanding that, yo, love is love, baby.
Absolutely.
That's like Captain Kirk say, it don't matter to me if she purple. If I love her, I love her.
One love, baby.
One love, for real, yeah. And you know what's funny? Because before I got married to my second wife, I had no grandkids, man. Now, after the marriage, with the marriage came 11 grandkids. And it's just
you.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, man, I find myself shopping online for them. I mean, it's a beautiful feeling, man. So when you hear my podcast and see my story, you'll understand that I try to give you a complete picture on whatever it is that we're discussing.
Absolutely. And listen, I cannot wait to check that out. I personally haven't checked that out yet. This is right up my alley. And listen, man, this goes into what I want to talk to next. But to your, before I do that, I want to say this, brother. I heard what you said, talking about you was white and she was black. I took a moment to pause with my mouth open, and I said, is this man drunk? How am I going to pull this back without sounding like an asshole? I'm like, hold on now. Wait a minute.
Hey, Ken, put the drink down. Put the drink down, Ken.
Just put it down, brother. Put it down. You done fucked up, man. Put the shit down.
You cut off, man.
Listen, but to the listeners out there, I definitely recommend you guys check out his podcast, The Kenny Hodge Podcast, on Blog Talk Radio. You can also find him on Facebook at The Kenny Hodge Podcast as well. But also, you know, thank you for sharing that about the other podcast you and your wife do. Gray, check that out. I'm definitely going to check that out. Lots of interesting topics discussed, both postal and non-postal.
Yeah.
So if you find yourself needing something to listen to while at work, definitely check those podcasts out. But what you just said, that you get loud, they see this. Listen, first off, Tupac was a poet and a revolutionist. And one day, and the next, he was back to being an artist. The next day, he was an actor. There's no reason why we all can't shine in different areas of our lives.
Now, right.
I just want to throw that out there,
yes,
man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Lots of our top talent across this country throughout years and years of it, you find multiple people doing the same thing. Black, white, it don't matter, right? But it transpires and goes into something else. And then that thing is, I want to talk to you about, it really pisses me off, and many others as well, when it comes to management, union leaders, or even our own coworkers, for that matter. And listen, again, we touched on it a bit before last week, but I want to talk more about passive aggressiveness. And Kenny, I know you're a type A personality, just like myself and many others out there. And I know you feel this, what I'm about to say. And again, we touched on it a bit, but I want to dive deeper in this topic. And that is, people like us, we are cast aside, treated like we are the aggressors in many situations, when in reality, we only treat people accordingly. We were raised where if we disrespected someone, right, our elders or any authoritative figure, what happened? Tell me, what happened to you, brother? We got an ass whoop.
Watch this. You got two ass whoopers, man.
Yeah.
You got two.
Minimum.
Because one, you're going to get from the person you disrespected. And then two, you're going to get from your parents because you just embarrassed them out in the street.
Yep. Yes, sir.
But you know what, though? See, people cared different then. And it didn't have to be. There was a time where if you disrespected an elder, they could whip your ass and not have any fear that your parents were going to come back and give them a hard time.
Yep. And respect was big, right? Yep, it comes down to don't start nothing, there won't be nothing. Stay in your damn lane, right? But today it's the opposite. Passive-aggressive people run this bitch, and it's us type A people who got the back seat, so to speak, and we're looked at differently. Sometimes I think to myself, what the fuck happened? Am I dreaming? We can't speak up anymore with anyone getting offended, getting their feelings hurt, or playing the victim like these passive-aggressive people do. A coworker or management can talk shit and constantly push your buttons, but if you confront that person, they cry about it, they play victim despite being the one starting shit. They get upset because we called them out on their actions. Or how about when management calls the cops on us and has us removed because they felt, quote unquote, threatened by us and we spoke up to them, right? Regardless of who it is, I was going to ask you, who do you think passive aggressiveness is more visible with? management or a coworker? It's kind of a trick question there, I know, but I want your take on this.
It's more aggressive, it's more visible with management, because you got to remember, they're the only ones. I don't care how long you've been working there, employees. I don't care what your position is, number one or zero seniority. You are pretty much, unless you are a lead clerk or a group leader, you're really never in a position to try to tell somebody how to do their job. And as postal employees, we have forgotten that. Postal employee understands that, for the most part, they know more than postal management. And listen to me, that in itself is crazy. And I'll explain that. So the fact that they know more than postal management, they feel comfortable telling people you're lazy. They feel comfortable telling somebody how to do their job. And the reason I said it's just crazy that we think we know more than postal management, what's it about postal operations only? Because management gets the play sheet. The plant manager tells the supervisors what they want done. They don't have that conversation with the employee. It's very possible a plant manager could tell a supervisor, listen, I need you to leave all these third-class letters here. Yes, I know they're due today. They're due to be processed today, but I've got delayed mail in another section. Now, you being an employee in the letter section, you are bouncing off the walls because your letter mail is being delayed. Why? Because you don't know the plan. I'm sorry. All you know is we're supposed to process all this mail. But no, the manager gave the supervisor instructions to let that sit so that they can shut a unit down to go help another unit. And I use that as an example of, we really need to stop thinking as employees, we know more than postal management, because you never will. And it doesn't mean they're smart. Don't confuse that.
Right.
Do the job they ask you to do and then take your ass home.
That's it.
But we can't do that. And again, we've not been able to do that for quite some time. You have employees having altercations with other employees,
yes, sir,
about work standards that don't even exist. Again, we don't know the play sheet. All we know is you're on the field. You don't know what play is called, but you have to block the man in front of you, sort of, for using a little bit of an analogy here. So,
sure,
to make a long story short, I would like to say to the employees, that passive aggressive behavior that we tend to show because we think somebody's not doing what we think they should do, let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go. Let postal management run the post office. We used to say they got a right to mismanage. If they want to mismanage us out of a job, I mean, that's still their right. But listen, they've been mismanaging for about 20 years now, and we still have a postal service. I mean, nothing's guaranteed, but to the postal employee, I say this with ease, but it's very hard to do. Stop trying to run the post office. You're not hired for that. Nobody hired you for your brilliant ideas on how to move. No, they have supervisors for that. And if we would learn to take a step back and let postal management do what it does, you would see a couple of things. Number one, you would see a lot more money in your paycheck. Because I know some silly individuals who really don't understand shit except for right now. They don't understand later today or tomorrow. They only understand right now. So if we would stop trying to be bosses and follow them, you're going to make more money. And they're going to mess the post office up so bad that it's going to require an executive committee to come in to fix it.
And you know what? You know what else? Just to piggyback off that, mind your fucking business.
See what?
God damn.
All that shit I just said, Ron, could have been reduced to that statement. Mind your fucking all that shit I just said. I cut up the whole cow just to get a steak.
That's okay, man. Hey, the people need to hear this from you. You are in both management and on our side.
Right.
So they need to hear this from you, not me.
Okay.
I already know what it is, bro. but it's mind your fucking business. Yeah. Listen. When somebody gets injured on a job, you ain't no fucking MD. You don't got a doctor's degree. Like, stop with the bullshit. What, you got medical opinions now? Next thing you're going to tell me, you're going to be diagnosing people with mental illnesses too, right? You know, I mean, it's unbelievable the way we treat each other as coworkers.
It really is.
We should support one another.
We treat each other as employees so bad that if postal management had any, and again, let me also put this disclaimer out. When I speak of postal management, I only speak of that person in the process of postal operations.
Correct.
So, again, when I say it's silly, whatever, most of these folks got IRAs, stock portfolios that they're doing very well in. So I don't mean they're ignorant.
Right.
When I say they're silly or empty, I'm only talking in respect the postal operations. So let's please understand that when you hear me talk about management, I only talk about them as managers, not as people, if you can bifurcate the two.
Absolutely. And the same can be said about our coworkers. So, when I worked, I don't know some of y'all outside of work. I don't fucking want to. I come to work, do my job, go to fuck home to my family. Now, can I have work family? Absolutely. I got friends. I met a lot of great friends and people within the Postal Service and within my career. And I appreciate every one of you. But to those who I didn't, listen, I didn't give two shits about you then. I don't give two shits about you now. Like, you don't affect me. You don't affect my bottom line. You don't affect how I feel. Fuck all of that. Now, you did affect how I felt during when I was working, you know, when you was running your fucking mouth and, you know, I had to be censored in a way. And people like you and I can't even listen. It's hard for us to be censored. Let's talk about that now, because we can't be censored. It's not in our DNA to listen. If I see something wrong, I got to speak up and say something. That's just me, especially when it involves me. But again, the way we come about it, and we talked about this last week a little bit, is, you know, you can't just come out, hey, let me holler at you in the dock right quick. I can't do that shit. I can't do that now. Man,
that's, you know what? You telling me, let me talk to you in the dock for a minute. That's just like you standing in front of me, stomping your foot on the ground, extending your arms and saying, and what? That's what that was to me. That's them fighting words. Let me talk to you on the dock. At that point, I'm making a decision. Do I want to go out here and fight or not? Because me thinking you want to talk to me ain't in my thought process anymore.
Well, let me just add this to that. Prior to saying that, I went above and beyond. I went out of my way to, before I got to that point, to talk to you on the floor openly in front of everybody. And it just, I wanted to remove you from the audience. So again, I just want my intentions to be known. My intentions were not to fight. I want that known from my audience, because I don't start shit, but I like to finish it.
Yeah.
Don't look too much into that statement. When I say finish it, I'm not here to give you a two-piece combo to leave you flat on your back. All right. I simply want to address it. That's it. Because I gotta work with your dumb ass.
All I can say, that whole thing is just change, instead of let me talk to you on the dock, all you gotta do is change that to let me talk to you in the office. Same energy, same statement. But the fact that I said in the office, now you let me know you want to talk. When you say the doc, you let me know. we go back to Sidewalk University, man.
Exactly. Hey, man, like I told you before last week, you're absolutely right. And hey, we're all work in progress, brother. And I'm further than where I was back then till now. So
what's it? But as we say, are you better today than you were yesterday?
Hell yeah.
And that's all that matters, baby.
But hey, for the people out there, don't do that. You know, like Kenny said, hey, switch out the words doc with office.
Yeah.
And if you want to, if you have good representation, listen, office is a good idea. Have the postmaster and your shop steward there, especially if you got issues coming from somebody who's cross craft. You're a city carrier, they're a rural carrier, or vice versa. You know, it's better to have someone else in there. What's that?
You just said something that really sent my antennas up.
Go ahead.
Have good representation.
Yeah.
Let me just speak on that for a second.
Absolutely.
How is it possible not to have good representation? Because you got to understand something to all the stewards out there. You pretty much got one book that you're learning. That's your contract. That's your bread and butter. As you become more knowledgeable in that, other administrative guys come in. But you really got one book. And what I think is missing when you say good, if you have good, every union steward should be a good rep. Every union steward, I don't care. I mean, some are going to be better than others, but all of them should be good. But your leadership don't nurture your growth. You become a steward and you just out there. Here, you just start writing cases. There's nobody sitting down telling you, okay, listen, let's look at what the issue is. Let's go to the contract. What does the contract say? And sometimes, if that steward applied himself like that, you'll find a steward selling people a lot of times that listen to them. I know that was kind of silly what the supervisor did, but it's really not a grievance. But I want you to tell me that and then take me to the contract and say, look, see right here in the article, whatever, it says they can do that. I know it seemed wrong to you, but now you know that they have a right to do that, and you don't waste your time being angry about a situation because you just didn't understand what was going on.
Right.
See, that's what I think stewards are missing. Stewards are, I don't know. And again, no disrespect to you, union stewards on any and any local or any branch. I have a lot of disrespect for your executive committees because they have the overall responsibility of training you. And when a steward recognizes or realizes that they have the support from their local, yo, that steward is now going to be like a steward on steroids. That's what leadership does.
What's scarier? My good friend Rich Ray from Region 15 says this from Staten Island. Shout out to Richie Ray. But he always says, what is scarier than one shop steward or one union president in a local knowing the contract? Five employees who don't need a fucking steward. Or an office of employees who don't need a steward. That's more powerful than that one steward or one president. So that speaks volumes to what you exactly just stated there. And I listen, well said, well articulated, and you're right. But it's almost to the sense the same thing can be said about management. Those two principles apply to both entities because they're not getting the training from leadership, like you said. And they just want a warm body. They want someone in that office to cover. And that's what I'm getting at. As a steward, if you don't want to be a shop steward, then get out of that position.
Find something else to do. You're right.
Quit.
If you don't want to do that, it's never going to be successful for you.
Exactly. No matter how. And you can get all the training in the world from your leadership, or you can get none. Like someone like you and I, Kenny, will seek out the information and use that to our advantage. But how many of these people out here in these positions can do that or want to do that? And that point, it's an accountability thing. And that's where I say lack of representation. Yes, you got to fault the executive leadership, but there still has to be some accountability on the individual in that steward position in said office. Because I saw it with my own eyes. I dealt with it myself. And I hear it all the time. And here's the biggest thing. You ready? They're in bed with fucking management. So they don't feel comfortable going into the office.
Thank you.
They know it's not going to go nowhere.
Thank you. And you know, and again, because the locals and the nationals don't spend sufficient time training these stewards. Because again, as a steward, you got to have the attitude of, if it's a contractual violation, I'm coming to get you, man. If it's a contract, not we're going to have a sidebar or we'll talk about it Thursday night at the bowling league. No, if you violate my contract, I'm coming to get you. And I don't think employees really know how to nurture or cultivate, for lack of a better phrase, that relationship with management. We could be that you got to have a working relationship with them. You don't have to be enemies, but you have to understand when it comes to this contract, we're not doing buddy-buddy talk right now. We're doing contract talk. If the contract says you're wrong, I don't care how much beer you bought me last night at the bowling alley. You have, I need you to settle this grievance, and then you can still buy me beer next week.
You got to draw that line. You got to have that line at work. You're my superior. I'm the employee. Outside of here, we friends. But you got to if you can't make that distinction and draw that, have that line drawn, then you shouldn't be friends. Right? I mean, management's not your friend anyway. If you can have a friendship outside of work, cool. But remember, when you're at work, management is not your friend.
It's one of those subjects or topics that's very easy to talk about, but it's not very easy to do. It's not because and I could say that because, see, my first 25 years in the post office, all my friends were postal management. I knew a lot of carriers and clerks because I worked in several states, but all my friends were postal management. Now that I'm not in management anymore, and I completely sold out to being a union advocate, those folks are still my friends. But they know when they come to sit down in front of me for negotiation, the word son of a bitch and that mofo, those words are thrown out there because they know I don't play with them like that.
Right.
And they also know my background. At one time, I was probably their boss. So all that disrespect is not happening either. You have to understand that there's a fine line. And if you are going to be a steward, first of all, if somebody observes that you have enough interest in the union and the goings on in the building and invite you to be a steward, you know, definitely grab hold to it and go do your job. But if you don't want to be a steward, if you're only interested in an hour or two of downtime every night without providing anything meaningful for your membership, then find something else to do. Because then you give the word shop steward a really bad name.
Yeah, when you start saying things like, nothing I can do, that's just the way it is, it's time to keep it moving.
That's good. Even if it's not a grievance violation, I don't know something about that term, and I think they must teach this in all union training. There's nothing I can do. There's always something you can do, man.
Exactly. Always.
Always. Something. And once again, what you might do is just go talk to the supervisor and say, listen, Billy Bob is feeling bad because you keep overstepping him when it comes to overtime. Now, that supervisor might come back and say, well, listen, tell Billy Bob this is why. And I don't think there's a good reason, but it might be a reason. So that steward can get that information, report back to the member and say, listen, this is what's going on with that. And take that member from the edge of the ledge over back to his work area.
That's it. That easy.
It really is. But you got to be committed. It's something you have to want to do. Nobody can make you do that.
Existing is different from being. And I think that's where the problem comes in. I'm here, but I'm not here.
Right. As a branch president on the union side, all my stewards know, I was very adamant about when you're in the office on union time, if you're not working a case, then you are studying. Damn that TV. And they'll tell you, and again, my stewards wasn't real happy with me, but damn that TV. Damn that you play music in the union office. This ain't no lunch spot. It's not a meeting place. If you're in here and I walk in here, you should be in the process of studying something. Now, I know that sounds kind of hard, but I'm sorry. I've always been one that if I'm going to be on the team, I'm sorry. I want my team to be the best team. Doesn't matter what we're doing.
Yes, sir.
I don't care if it's sharpening pencils. I want my team pencils to be just a little sharper than everybody else's. Because that little extra shows we care a little more. That was one of the big things that when I was president for my period of time, my stewards had a problem with that. And again, I didn't really care about your problem with that because this is what to do. So what they did was they appealed to the local president, who again was just an empty suit. And he came down and gave me a hard time because of how I wanted to run my union office. And that's when I found out that as a branch president in the mail handler union, you have no say in who your stewards are. That right is strictly reserved for the local president, which makes no damn sense to me at all.
Right.
But I found that out because I'm doing what I thought was right, and they started complaining. And then I had to go into our constitution, and it says all stewards are appointed by the local president. So I'm only talking mail handlers now. So I was a branch president who had stewards who worked for the local president, and all of us were not on the same sheet of music because I was about representing people. They were about getting paid.
Yes, sir. And that's where we got to draw the line with them as members, union dues paying members. It's just like management, just like how we treat each other on the workroom floor, the same principle applies to unions and our leadership. We accept only what we tolerate. If you tolerate bullshit and garbage, that's what the social norm is going to be moving out.
Yeah.
Bullshit and garbage.
Yep.
So get your head out your asses and start making the fucking change that your members deserve, want, and need.
And again, and it starts with the branch president, but the branch president has the ability to talk to people,
mm-hmm.
walk around, you know, and again, you have to build union pride. You got to have pride in your union in order for you to really become involved in it. And all it takes to build human union pride is getting engaged in the issues that affect your membership. Because I'm telling you, when the members see every week, Ken is up in the office with the plant manager going over this, going every week this is going on. So what happens now is the members say, wow, I've got leadership that's engaged. Let me join them. And when one member joins, another member goes. And when I say
dominoes,
I don't mean join the union because they've got that magic pull on everybody that everybody, mostly 90% of people in the post office joins the union. And I'm going to leave that right there. I was almost going to say if that 90% would quit, it would probably wake the unions up and make them earn your membership, not just get it by osmosis because you work here.
Right, exactly. No, that's well said and well articulated, Kenny. By transitioning here once again, I want to finish up with some personal questions here, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
All right, let's get it, Dan. I appreciate you. some questions I forgot to ask you earlier on, and maybe you've answered a bit in a way from earlier questions from last week. But the first question is, what are some obstacles you personally have encountered throughout your illustrious, postal career? What is some of the mistreatment, misinformation, or misrepresentation you've dealt with personally from either management or union leaders? What stories come to mind?
Usually overtime and injuries. Overtime is because, I've seen officers. In fact, there was a issue in Columbus about 2 or 3 months ago. Remember, I'm going in April, but I still get these issues where they were passing over one of the mail handlers to get to a mail handler that they like. Now, that's just stupid. I'm sorry. But nonetheless, he spoke to me, and what I told him was, since there was no one was supposed to be coming in for overtime, if these 2 or 3 people come in every day and they're not authorized, listen, this is not the best information, but if you want your money right now, you come in also. If nobody's authorized to come in, but 2 people come in every day and they're not saying anything to them, then you come in also.
Absolutely.
And let me tell you something. He started coming in, and it started equaling out a little bit of this disparity. So by the time I looked at it and was going to write a grievance, you're probably talking about a difference of maybe 2.8 hours. And I told him, these are your hours. Do you want to put a grievance in for that? Or is this something that maybe we need to bring to management attention? So we didn't even file a grievance. But I told him, if they're going to not play by the rules, and I don't give this opinion often. I don't give this information often. If they're not going to play by the rules, then understand this. Go get your money too. They come in, you come in. But now,
right,
be prepared. Be prepared mentally that one day you're going to come in, management is going to realize what you're doing, and that means that you're taking overtime just like the other unauthorized people, and then they're going to shut it down. So be prepared to come in 2 hours early and maybe get put off the work floor and have to sit in your locker room until your tour starts. Just be prepared for that, because they understand what's happening. They're going to try to respond to it, and their response is going to be, nobody's authorized, so for today, everybody's on the work floor. And you gotta be able to eat that as you continue to prove your point.
Absolutely. And when that does happen, if it does happen, then you just put yourself on the authorized list.
Well, right? this person was already on the list. They were just
Got you. That's the disparity then. Yeah, I got you.
If you're not on the overtime list, all my conversation with those employees are, they don't want to stay, and management making them stay. Well, listen, if management is making you force you to stay overtime, after you told them that you were very tired, you were not feeling well, but they still forced you to stay, then if you're very tired and you're not feeling well, then maybe you might need extra breaks because you don't want to work unsafe. And if I'm tired, well, you know, let me go take me another 20-minute break because I told you I didn't want to stay and I'm not feeling well. So in order for me to stay and do the job you want me to do, it requires me to take a couple extra breaks. Now, if you don't want me to take those breaks, how about you do what I asked you to do in the first place? Send me home.
Absolutely. And you said it, safety. Safety is first. And going off that a little bit more, man, I know you also said overtime is one of them, but then also
injury.
On the job working days, right. In Tennessee right now, so you got your INPU, right?
Right.
They denied a pallet of water, and they denied another manager to fix the ice machine in their office. Now, mind you, the heat index is way the fuck up. The humidity is 100% out there, just like in some certain other places in this country is.
Right.
This is where people are dropping with heat exhaustion and heat stroke, okay? So why are they causing, first off, is that causing a safety hazard when you're denying shit like this? Forget policies and procedures right now, because I wouldn't know. You would know more about that than me.
Uh-huh.
But doesn't that play into safety as well?
But see, this is where, again, and I fall back on unions again, their lack of involvement. If I'm a local president and I got a bunch of one of my office telling me that, see, here's my advice to them while I go address management. Understand this. I'm going to see these guys and get it fixed. But in the meantime, you have to understand, and this is probably what they would hear. Listen, if they won't provide you drinking water or ice, then you have to understand you can't exert yourself nearly as much because you run the risk of a heat being a heat casualty that you caused. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. They need to have some accountability for themselves. And I get all that. But my thing is that something management is expected to do or has to do? Is there any kind of policy procedure related to that?
Drinking waters, bathrooms. If you look under your health and safety articles or handbooks, it tells you that. You can't ask me to come in here to work and not provide me with
basic water. Necessities.
Yeah. Right. I mean, bathroom, water. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, but again, we can't make management move quick, but we can force them to move quick. And what I mean by, if I come in here and say, listen, Mr. Plant Manager, Mr. Whoever you are, or Mr. or Mrs., because they're equally as absent. Listen, this is what's going on. You got people out here with nothing to drink, and they may give you that Marie Antoinette response. So let them eat cake. Well, listen to me. I'm going to talk to my members. And I'm going to tell my members, listen to me, members. If you, and I'm sorry, I get a little dramatic. If you have a heat casualty in this building today, understand that you're probably the cause of it.
Right.
Why am I saying that to you? Because if management don't care enough about you to provide drinking water or hydration for you, then you have to care about yourself. And that
means you have to.
You cannot move at that accelerated pace because you're going to pass out.
So yes, sir.
What we're going to do now, I'm going to demonstrate to you with some safe work habits, work tips that you know, but you don't apply. And 1 or 2 days of processing 50 packages when the post office is used to package processing 400, see, that gets their attention. Now we're communicating. Because if I'm telling you I need water and you saying, no, you don't, we're not communicating. I don't have your attention. But when I let that productivity fall to a point where now you have to explain what happened, and part of your explanation to headquarters is, I did not provide hydration for the employees. See, now you put yourself in the hot seat, because you're going to explain mm-hmm. that to headquarters. Because headquarters, and again, as absent as the Postal Service is, headquarters are not going to allow that.
Right.
But if they do it, and all we do is, if the postal management does that, don't provide hydration, and all we do is complain to each other, headquarters knows, don't get me wrong, but it ain't an issue for them. They're probably thinking, wow, that's not right, but if it's working in that local, I'm not going to touch it. Slow down right. productivity again. So that, and when I say slow down, I don't mean intentionally slow down. No, see, right. that now you run the risk of getting fired. I'm talking exactly. about working safe, and working safe in a heated atmosphere means you are not going to work as fast because you run a greater risk of dehydration.
Well, hey, that's where our 1767s come into play as well, right?
And that, let me, on that 1767, to everyone who hears this show, that is a powerful form.
You heard it here, folks.
Yes, that's a powerful form, and it's powerful because when you fill out the observation of the unsafe work practice or habit that day, somebody from management has to acknowledge that, fill out their piece of the 1767 and give you a copy back. But it don't stop there. Now they have to send that up to the next higher manager. And that 1767 observation of safe work practices, that's a powerful form because it goes all the way up the line. And you know it's powerful because when you begin to fill them out, watch how shit gonna change for you. Now you thought you and management were cool, but not right now, they're not. Because you just put a form into the system that says there's a violation here that nobody's addressing.
Right. Nah, you're absolutely right, man. And you know what? I also tell people, you can't just fill out a 1767 and drop that on a supervisor's desk and walk away. Even if you've taken a picture of it and walking away, when you go and bring that to the set supervisor or manager, watch them sign it in front of you. Take a picture of that signed, filled out form right then and there. Keep that on your phone and let them do what they will with that form. Because there's a time limit. They got to get that responded to now. So if you have that signed off on, boom.
And they have to give you a copy also.
Absolutely. The copy is important as well. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Now, you can still keep it on your phone because you're like me. I'm not going to keep up with all that paperwork. But, shit, I can scroll through my phone and pick out a picture I see.
Right. Exactly.
But, you know, like I said, see, we have common sense situations that as employees, we should be employing to make postal management be in compliance. But what we do through years of this is we complain, we might stomp our feet a little bit, and then we go off into the sunset, and whatever was broke is still broke. But the only thing now is they just convinced us that it's going to stay broke, and we are okay with that.
Again, tolerating. Absolutely, brother. Nah, I appreciate that you taking the time to speak on that. Next question for you, from me would be, what's the biggest issue you see that needs attention? I know you're not in a union or even in an agency today, but what's the biggest issue you see when you left or even today, right now, currently within the Postal Service as a whole, whether it be with management, with the unions? How do we go and fix that said issue if we even can?
Well, let me say this, and I mean this, and I'm going to say it slow and I'm going to enunciate. Mm-hmm. The issue cannot be fixed. The issue cannot be fixed because in order to fix one of the major issues with the Postal Service, it's got to be fixed at headquarters. And what I mean by that is they have to come to an agreement. Are we service or are we productivity? See, as long as the mission statement says we're a service organization, service organizations don't beat down individuals about productivity. This new wave of postal management now says we're not service, we're concerned with productivity. As long as one side sees productivity and the other side sees us being a service entity, until the two get together, I'm telling you, you will always have the issues that you have right now. You expecting something from me that you really have no contractual reason to expect that. See, it's all, the whole Postal Service is pretty much built on discretionary effort. I don't give a shit about no productivity. I don't. And I say that to people. And again, when I say that so emphatically, carriers, clerks, mail handlers, maintenance, you got to understand, I'm never telling you to lay down on the job. That's not my message, because that shit will get you fired. But do your job the way it's supposed to be done. If you've got a two-hour job, then take the 2 hours. Stop trying to rush through shit. They give you that job for a reason. Because if you worked with a decent company, if you perform a two-hour job in an hour, that would probably get you some kind of bonus. But because you work for the post office, that's just going to get you more work.
Mm-hmm. And you get rewarded with more work.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, and you set yourself up for that. Because if every day you coming in there, you running through your route, now take it over to the letter carrier, you running through an 8-hour route in 6 hours, taking 2 hours of annual leave or just leaving, what you're telling the post office is you don't have enough work. Excuse me, that's not what you're telling the post office, but that's what they hear. Because I remember sitting in some division meetings and I remember telling managers, you can never get a post employee to work for you like that post employee works for himself. And let me explain that. If I've got a meeting at 1 o'clock today with my kid's school, and my baby girl is 30 years old, so with my kid's school, I can come in, throw that route up, and run that route because I already know you can't give me annual leave because you're short. So I can make my own time. Now, when I do that because I have a meeting to go to, postal management sees that as you have the ability to do that all the time. And that goes back to my statement. I'm never going to work for you like I work for me.
Give them an inch, take a mile aspect of it, right?
That's exactly. Yeah, and I see that a lot. There was a station in Columbus, Ohio, Upper Arlington part of Ohio, where they did an experiment where they let the carriers, listen, 8 hours a day is what I'm going to pay you regardless. Unless, you know, you're doing a pivot on another route, then that'll be overtime. And the carriers knocked it out for like 2 years. At the end of the test period, postal manager, being true to form, came in and looked at the records and like, wow, these folks are knocking these routes out of 5 hours. Let's add 3 hours to them. And they screwed up the whole area of Upper Arlington for quite some time. But now here's that other side. Upper Arlington is kind of a little bit of a influential area. So they're not like in the hood. In the hood, it would have just stayed broke. But because Upper Arlington, they have a little influence, you know, people up there make a little money, they came in right away and fixed that shit. And they had to take all that additions off of those routes and readjust all those routes down.
If it wasn't Arlington, it wouldn't have been. It probably would still be that.
It was still.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's well said. And listen, man, I think there needs to be change on both levels, because We need to change the morale of our brothers and sisters out there as much as the change needs to be had within management and the agency, starting with the extent of training people get, or in this case, lack of training, and being more personable, right? Meaning treating people like you want or expect to be treated. And it's funny how it comes down to the golden rule, which you all learned back when we was kids back in the day, right? Treat people as you want to be treated, right?
Right.
But listen, I got to also ask you this question. And I believe you, again, you may have touched on it a bit before as well, but being that you were in management, but I want to dive deeper into this as well, because it's affecting people and it's going to be affecting many people in the near future. I'm hearing a lot of talk about the consolidation of offices into these hubs across the country that is supposed to be coming soon. Now, I know it started in Georgia already, and it supposedly started to be implemented elsewhere, and it's supposed to make its way across this country. But the talk is all about carriers' times on the street, if the routes can be or will be readjusted or not because of reporting to a hub that is much further away from their own route currently. They say that all the mail flats are supposed to come in sequenced already, and management's thoughts on this is that they will not have that hour casing time in the morning anymore. So it should be an equal exchange in regards to that timing issue. But being you worked all over and have helped so many people, what are your thoughts on this? Will it save time? Can carriers have their routes adjusted to match the time it takes to travel to and from these hubs into the route? And will this be the future to come working out of these hubs? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, it's funny that you say that, because I just dropped a podcast 2 days ago called NALC, Is This Important? And that's all I speak about is those routes, because I've adjusted thousands, and I don't mean hundreds, thousands of routes in my career as postal delivery supervisor. You have to do something. There is, it just don't even make sense that I would move you from uptown to downtown and not make some kind of adjustment on your route. Now, they can live in that environment, that utopia that says you're going to walk in the building and everything is going to be done for you already. Now, let me tell you something. If that's true, if you can actually do that, there still needs to be some adjustment to that route. Because, see, when you do some adjustment to that route, you send the subliminal or the that serves as a latent function to tell the carrier that you are aware of what they do. When you move me cross town and make no adjustment to my route, especially if you have extended my route. Now, when I ask for overtime, you're going to tell me something like, well, we just moved you. You didn't have the case this morning. Well, I would probably say to you, you know, that's exactly correct, Mr. and Mrs. Supervisor. But I would have needed 2 hours today, but I'm only asking for one. So I understand the move. But instead of me asking you for 2 hours, I'm only asking you for one. And that's what I need on my 96. And that in itself, again, management just, I don't know, they just want to move you and think that there's no gain or loss on that. That's just silly.
Right.
That don't even pass the common sense test. If you come down to that carrier and you talk to that carrier, listen, I'm moving you from, I don't know, uptown to downtown. Just the travel alone from old station to new station is 45 minutes one way. Well, if you eliminated all of my office time, okay, I picked up some time, but did I pick up enough to say this is a wash? It probably never is going to be a wash.
Right.
What's going to happen is those carriers are going to go out there. They're going to give that discretionary effort. And as they always do, those other carriers are going to make it happen, because employees have always cared more for the postal customer than postal management ever will.
Right. And you mentioned something interesting. Okay, it may not be a whitewash. And when this happens, when this comes to the listeners out there, when this comes to your routes and your office, and you find yourself reporting to a hub, whether it be now or even in the future, first off, number one, fill out the fucking 96s. You already know what it is. Too many of you don't want to do it. Listen, now that would be the time to do it if you ever had to do it at all. So fill out the damn 96s in that part or at that time. But also, do not run through the fucking route. Don't do it. Safety is first. And this is going, mark my words here, You're going to see a lot more accidents once these hubs start coming out, because I guarantee you this is going to be the mindset of either a rural or city carrier, whatever the case is, more city than a rural, obviously, but it's that travel time, and we want to try to get through, rush. Accidents are going to happen. Slow the fuck down. No need to rush. Please keep that in mind. Your safety is first and foremost, top priority, over the fucking mail, over your job. Your safety's first. Go home to your family at the end of the day. That's all I'm going to say. But go ahead, Kenny.
Yeah, but you see, now, when I was a letter carrier, right, and once again, it took me a while to understand this. I had just gotten out of the Marine Corps, maybe within a year or two. So everything was still to me. I'm in excellent shape. Everything to me was a challenge. I used to go to work saying, okay, how much faster can I do this today? And I mean, I used to.
You also move with purpose, Kenny. That's what, yeah, you know, that's what they
taught you. I was one of them letter carriers that jumped over hedges. I mean, you know, my thing was, I'm serious, because really I did that because I didn't know the organization.
Exactly.
And to me, it was a free workout. I'm 22 years old, out the Marine Corps, 3 years active duty. Come on.
Yes, sir.
Right now, to me, it's just every day was fun. And I start to learn the organization. I start to learn that they don't care that you do that, because if I was to ever get hurt, and I knock on wood that I never had an injury as a letter carrier, I would have been at fault.
Right.
And nobody was going to come to my aid and say, wait a minute, let's take care of this guy because he does two routes in a day for us. No, that's not what they say. They say to
me,
they would have said is, why are you jumping over hedges? Mm-hmm. I've been doing it every day since I've been here. You've been out. You walked with me before. You seen me do it. It was funny then. Now that I'm hurt, I'm at fault. And you know what? They are exactly correct. I would have been at fault. So
right. Nope. Absolutely.
So I did. I was one of them guys that used to doing all this in a pair of Core Fram shoes because I kept my carrier. I kept my carrier uniform impeccable. That went in the cleaners, man. Yeah, but again, that's how much I enjoyed it. Until you start to learn the system, and you learn,
yes, sir,
all this that you give means absolutely nothing to these folks, man.
Absolutely. Well said. Well said.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely fucking right, man. I think a lot of us coming into this job, as we're going to do our best, take the military aspect out of it for a second. We're excited to start a new job. And if you are a veteran and you come from a military background, just like you said, we look at it as, what's the next challenge? We look at it as, you know, at least I even did this myself. I was like, wow, I wonder if I could beat this time and be at this place at this time tomorrow. Rather, okay, boom. And I'll keep mental notes of where I'm at on my route, especially in a business district. I mean, there's a lot I can go into, but I won't. I'll skip it. But I just wanted to say, you're absolutely right with the whole challenging thing. And we want to do the best that we can do, be the best that we can be at that position, because we take pride. We have integrity. And again, the challenging aspect. But we all come in there jumping hedges, whatever the case is. I think a lot of us were like that coming in, but then we learn, slow the fuck down if I want to last. And you hear the old timers already say to us, hey, don't run. Don't be a runner. Slow down. You should be taking your breaks. You should take your full breaks.
Yes.
Hey,
yeah.
Don't case off the clock.
Yep.
Relax. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And as a new person, you're like, man, get the fuck away from me. Leave me alone. Then you learn.
Yeah.
You know, whenever you learn it, because it's different for all of us before it sinks in, wow, they were fucking right. But yeah, man, well said, brother. But listen, Kenny, is there anything else you want to share with the listeners out there or talk about that perhaps we forgot to bring up?
Carriers should make themselves aware of the operational process from reading rather than listening. The carrier next to you are going to give you information. Well, I'm sure there's a nice bunch of little shortcuts and shit in there, but let me read what I'm supposed to do. And then I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. And I can make that statement to you emphatically because I know what I'm supposed to do. And nowhere in your carrier route book are you going to see where you should be moving at a certain speed. Nowhere do you see how many paces you should walk. You don't see that stuff. So guess what? It don't exist, y'all. Help yourself. Reading is, I'm telling you, you will be, and I always tell people this, you will be shocked and in the status of awe if you actually read your job description on what you're supposed to do as opposed to what they want you to do.
And here's the thing. There should be a copy of that at every single fucking case in your drawer.
Yes.
There should be. But I guarantee you it's not. And it's a packet. It's not just a few papers. No. It's a fucking packet. And it describes your job description and what's expected of you.
Well,
so
we don't
keep that in mind.
Because we listen to the person And again, some of your most outstanding postal employees violate safety rules and regulations every day.
Absolutely.
And these are your outstanding ones. Because employees are more about, let's get it done. But we have to move, elevate ourselves from that mindset and understand, I work for a company who tells me what should happen. I like to use the example, if I went to work for McDonald's and they told me, listen, Ken, you're on the Big Mac line. I want you to put 2 all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, onions, pickles on a sesame seed bun on every Big Mac. Yeah, I still remember that shit, yo. Man, watch this. Because I'm Ken and I'm industrious. I want to move up in the McDonald's line. Maybe I say, I'm only going to give them one patty so we can save money. That thought process will never enter your mind working at McDonald's. Why does it enter your mind working at the post office? They told you what they want done, but yet still, we still try to circumvent and come up with our own ways. Do the job as the job is supposed to be done, because you're going to find out that postal headquarters, in their greatness, and again, I say that word, in their greatness, design these jobs so that the post office isn't a career stop. It's a career. When you came to work at the United States Postal Service, nobody thought, well, I'm going to be here until I find something better. Now, that's commonplace now. But see, these jobs are designed that you can do them for a career, not for a moment. And when you said earlier about not running, and the old folks, the older people, because I'm one of them. I'm one of the people tell you about running. Here's the thing. Work today like you want to work every day of your career. And if you are in your mindset that you want to run every single day of your career, then you go to work like that. Most of us are not like that. But if you understand that, wait a minute, I'm going to be doing this for 25, 30 years. I'm going to set a pace now that's going to give me longevity, that will allow me to work 25, 30 years without leaving the Postal Service as a broke individual. And when
it'll hit us all. It just hits us all at different times.
Yeah, it does. But again, if unions would spend more time educating the members on that initially, before you get into all those really corrupt or bad habits, see, it'd be a better place for the employee.
Absolutely. And not to mention, it may help prevent injury as well.
Again, I know a whole lot about injury compensation, but I know a guy, okay, that if or when it comes to carriers, I'll come to you for carrier information before I go to anybody else. Now, clerks, maintenance, and mail handlers, I keep that right on the top of my head. So I'm pretty solid there, but anything that I'm talking about that I'm not sure, I know somebody who is sure.
Exactly. And we utilize each other. It's a big network of information that we all can use and go to for each other. You know, listen, Kenny, it's been a pleasure having you join us. But before we close out the show, I want to ask you 3 questions that I ask all my guests.
Okay.
And that is, if you had a message for all the listeners out there, someone going through it right now, maybe scared to say something and speak up regarding any issues they are going through right now, what would your message be? What would you say to them right now?
If you are scared to speak up on situations in your office that are not right, I'm sorry, but I have to go a little Marine Corps on you, then I want you to enjoy being scared. If you like having a spirit or something in you that allows people to take advantage of you, then all I can say to you is embrace it. Because you're there already. If they're already, so I know people were expecting me to say, don't be scared. No, if that's the kind of spirit you have, know who you are and enjoy it, man. I'm sorry. And at one point or at some point, you're going to decide not to let people take advantage of you. And then you'll become the other side of that coin. But if that's you're doing right now, and that's part of your makeup as a person, embrace it.
That's well said, actually. And because honestly, if you do, even if you embrace that aspect of it, it might help you with anxiety, PTSD, anything, because you're embracing that already.
Right.
But you're right, though. Eventually, we all going to reach our breaking point and say enough is enough, and we're going to stand the fuck up and get the other side.
And you know what? When you reach that point, you are going to be so committed as opposed to somebody telling you about that point. But, you know, because that was personal. So the same scary person that you were last week. Now you come to the understanding that, you know what? I got to stand up for me. And when you reach that point, then you'll see things differently. But again, embrace who you are.
Absolutely. That's a great message. And it's funny because people like you and I, we're on the opposite end. We need to learn to pull the reins back a little bit. But you know what? It's just proof that we're all on an individual journey. We're all on this side of the coin or that side of the coin. We're all trying to get to the opposite side to grow
right.
as an individual. So well said, brother. To any union leaders or agency heads out there right now, especially those within the Postal Service who listen to this podcast, who follow me on Facebook and anything else, who listen to the messages being sent out there, what would you like to say to them, brother?
Well, let me say to them, I would say it is so important that we learn our jobs. Not learn what the supervisor says, but learn your job. You have to know that you know that you know what you are accountable for and responsible for. And let me tell you, it ain't a whole lot. You have a responsibility to bring your ass to work. And again, let me tell you something, that's questionable because there's being cases tried now where post office, wait a minute, you just gave me 100 hours of sick leave. I earned it. And because I used what I earned, I'm now sitting in a PDI for discipline. No, hell no, that's not right. But it has become the norm because you don't learn your job. You don't learn your job. So again, I would say to people, if you learn your job and became confident in what you are responsible for, your whole postal life, I swear to God, it's going to get so much better. When you learn that there's five people working in my area, four of them didn't come to work. When you learn that, guess what? Maybe I might be in a position to help, but I'm not concerned with that. I'm concerned with what I have to do. And I'm not going to take shortcuts on what I have to do to fill in a vacancy. See, that's not your job. That's management's job to replace people that are missing. But far too often, the employee takes it upon himself, well, let me hurry up so I can do his job too. No, you put unnecessary strain on yourself. So long answer, well, short answer would be learn your job and practice what you've learned.
Well said, well said. And lastly, to anyone listening to this who isn't in the federal workforce, but who may have a position within society that can help us create change, someone who may be a politician, a national media journalist, activist, whatever their status in society may be, what message would you leave them?
Well, again, I'm just going to change that just a little bit. I would like to see more non-federal people join the show, follow the podcast, because, again, if I had a magic wand, I would love to see about four or five lawyers who don't have a problem going after the United States Postal Service. I would love to see a team of lawyers who employees could go to, because after you get the information on what the postal office is supposed to do, and like, for example, let's take it over to the CA forms. You know they're supposed to give you that CA form, that CA-16, but when they refuse to do that, I'd like to see the post office have a, not the post office, but a team of lawyers who do nothing but specialize in suing the shit out of the United States Postal Service, listen, for not following their own rules and regulations. So when you first hear me say, sue the shit out of the post office, understand, we're just not putting frivolous lawsuits out there. We only want to come at them for not doing what they're supposed to do. And I don't
exactly
mean in the form of a grievance. I don't mean in the form of a grievance. I mean in the form of a federal lawsuit, because that's what they understand. So I guess my thing would be, I'd like to see some non-postal lawyers get involved in a post office, because let me tell you, lawyers, a thing or two. Well, let me share with you. You could have a very lucrative law career, law practice, by just going after the United States Post Office, because they are that committed to not doing what they're supposed to do.
Absolutely. That is very, very well said and well articulated. Kenny, listen, man, again, thank you for joining us on the show today. Your knowledge and your experience and even your opinion for that matter. Listen, man, we appreciate it. I greatly appreciate it. Very beneficial for all of us. Great perspectives. It's been real. Always a pleasure seeing you and talking with you, my man. Never a dull moment with you. Yeah. I hope, listen, I hope you can enjoy your retirement, brother, because you definitely deserve some of that R&R. Thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
And before I leave, let me say to your audience also, thank you, Ron, for sharing your platform with me. There's a podcast out, folks, by the name of Fed Up. I'm talking to the producer of that podcast today, my man, Ron. But listen, you got to hear the information. And sometimes you need to rehear it. See, sometimes we do shows, two or three shows on the same issue. It's not because we have Alzheimer's, and no disrespect to anybody with that. It's because we understand repetition sometimes is needed in this business we call a post office. So listen, here's three parting references that you definitely want to lock into. One, Federal Injury Centers with Chris and Jeannie Helm. There's not a damn thing under the sun about injuries that Chris can't help you with. Two, Fed Up Podcast with Ron Speakman. Okay, again, Ron's taking you through Fed Up, not Postal Up, Fed Up. If it's federal and it's an issue, you come on down and see Ron Speakman, and we're going to talk about it. He's going to talk about it with you. And the last one, of course, is the Kenny Hodge Podcast, where I venture out into a lot of subjects, but no matter how far I roam, I always bring it back home. And when I say back home, that's the USPS. So with that being said, I thank you, Ron. I enjoy conversing with you. And you know, I'm always a phone call away, big dog.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. To my listeners out there, you already know what it is. I'm going to leave you with my closing quotes and messages, as I always do when I close out each show. But for today, I'm only going to leave you with one, which will be to you, my listeners, my fellow brothers and sisters out there. As my closing quotes and messages with my next show's guest will say everything I need to say and then some, as I will be addressing both the unions and employees out there, our coworkers, if you will. You won't want to miss that interview, as this interview is one that you out there are waiting to hear. So make sure you tune in. But for my listeners out there and to anyone going through it right now, I'll leave you with this. Most people don't want to be part of the process. They just want to be part of the outcome. But the process is where you figure out who's worth being part of the outcome. As I'm sure a lot of you are finding out, it's hard to get anyone in your corner, especially when you're going through something and are so far down that hole to the point where it's too difficult for anyone to want to help you out of that hole. So remember this, success doesn't come from what we do occasionally. It comes from what we do consistently. So consistently, we should all be educating ourselves, learning, further extending our knowledge of the OWCP, Department of Labor and its process, our contracts, the ELM, your handbook, whatever it is. Consistently learn and educate yourself on it, because there may be one day that you're going to need it. And after all, the two most important things in life that we can control are both, one, our attitude, and two, our effort. So no matter how tough an obstacle you are facing, keep that in mind and prepare today while others do nothing, so you're better prepared when others start preparing. Otherwise, you may be forced to make time for your illness, if not making time for your wellness. And as always, remember, you are not alone. Keep your head up. Keep fighting for what it is that you want or need, whether if it's that next day, that next paycheck, that next doctor's appointment, that next breath, whatever it is, keep fighting and never give up. Until next time, stay safe out there, my friends.
Respect.
That about does it here for us at Fed Up. Please don't forget to like, follow, and share this podcast. And if you are fed up like everyone else is and want to share your story and experiences, your issues and frustrations, and want your voice to be heard, I invite you to be a guest on this show. There's strength in numbers, and together, by sharing our stories, we can and will make the change that is needed. Just send me an email at one.fedup.podcast@gmail.com. Again, that's the number 1.fedup.podcast@gmail.com, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Again, thanks for tuning in. Until next time, stay safe out there, my friends. We've been fed.